It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In Acts chapter 26, we've been looking at Paul and reading of Paul as he stood before King Agrippa. And he gave an overview of how that he had put Christians to death. And of course, this was before he became a Christian, before he knew Jesus as Savior. And now, as we read on in Acts chapter 26, we're going to start reading with verse 12 here, how that Paul now goes into telling King Agrippa about his meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. And while Paul was engaged in persecuting Christians, he journeyed on this road. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 12, it says, "Whereupon as I went to Damascus," now he's talking to King Agrippa, "whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests." In other words, he was on a mission, not as a Christian, but as one who was persecuting Christians. And let me remind you that Paul the Apostle used every occasion possible to present Jesus Christ as Savior. Now he's getting into the fact, and he's telling King Agrippa about his conversion. And in verse 13 of Acts chapter 26, now it says at midday, Paul's talking to Agrippa, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and then, and them which journeyed with me, the light shone round about me," he says, "and to the, round those who were with me." It was around noon, and it was shining brighter than the sun, and it encircled him and his companions, according to that verse. After everyone had fallen to the earth, we're going to read that in just a moment. After everyone had fallen to the earth, Paul heard a voice speaking to him in Hebrew. This was the language of the Jews. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In other words, in verse 14, "Or why do you keep persecuting me? It is hard for you to keep opposing something that is sharp." In other words, to kick, to oppose. This would be like a goad. He was kicking against something like a goad. And a pointed animal prod, in other words, he would be familiar with that, an unmovable object. And of course, this talks about this in Acts 26 and verse 14, where it says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In other words, an animal goad. A sharp-pointed object. See, Paul his attention was gotten by Christ in Acts 26, 13, and 14, not only by causing him to fall to the earth and by bright light, brighter than the sun, shining from heaven. Christ also spoke to Paul in the Hebrew language. When Paul did the same thing in Acts chapter 22 and verse 2, when he got the Jews' attention by speaking in Hebrew. Verse 2 of Acts chapter 22 and verse 2 says, "And when they heard that he spake," this is Paul, "in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith." Now, once again, the Lord got Paul's attention, just as Paul had gotten the people's attention and when he spoke in the Hebrew tongue. Well, Paul speaks and asks who is speaking. In other words, after Jesus spoke to him, He speaks and he asks who is speaking, and the voice says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." In other words, persecuting, this is presently, systematically, passionately opposing. Verse 15 of Acts 26 says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And in verse 16 of Acts 26, it says, Jesus saying, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which in the which I will appear," in other words, a reveal unto thee. Well, the Lord told Paul of the purpose of his appearing, to make him a minister and witness of the things he had seen and of the things that would be revealed to him. In other words, things he would see later on. And then we continue on, chapter 26, verses 17 and 18, where it says, and this is Jesus speaking now. He says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Well, Paul was sent by the Lord to the Gentiles. Later on, we'll see this. He was sent there to open their eyes. He would speak to the Jews, but then he would go to the Gentiles. Why would Christ send him to do this? Well, it's plain that they may receive forgiveness of sins, according to verses 17 and 18. The Lord, in other words, would rescue Paul from the persecution of the Jews and the Gentiles, because he, and that's the Lord, was sending Paul to the people. In other words, it would make no difference who he spoke to, whether it be Jew or Gentile. He would be giving them the plan of salvation, telling them how to be saved. And that's the way it is today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means whether you're a Jew, Gentile, Greek, Asian, no matter who you are, you can be saved, according to what we read of in the Scriptures. And the Bible is the Word of God. And we receive that Word, faith believing, of what Jesus has said. And especially when we go back and read His own account of how He was sent into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. How can we but believe Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. How can we refuse to receive what Jesus has said in His Word, that once again, to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is the Lord. And we need to let people know, that those of us who are saved, we need to let other people know that they too, no matter who they are or whatever they've done in this life, that they too can be saved, not because of what they have done or what they will do, except to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. That's all they can do. That's all a person needs to do, is to accept the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means, you know, the Bible says to repent. That means to have a change of mind. In other words, you're not going to go your way any longer. You want to go God's way. And to go God's way, you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus did it all for us on the cross of Calvary. And if you've never trusted Him, won't you trust Him today? Today is the day of salvation. And the Bible says that to as many as received Him, that's Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons, in other words, the children of God. That's a promise of God from His Word. Well, now we continue on in the book of Acts in chapter 26, reading about Paul talking here to the king, and we see obedience here. In Acts chapter 26, and verse 19, it says, whereupon, in other words, after Jesus has spoken to him, Paul says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, and I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He knew it was Jesus. He knew it was coming. This voice was coming from the Lord Himself. And in this verse, Paul told Agrippa that he had to be obedient to the heavenly vision. He did what he was supposed to do according to what he had been told. Chapter 26 and verse 20 of Acts says, but showed first unto them of Damascus. In other words, he said, I went to Damascus first, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Well, Paul declared the gospel in Damascus, Jerusalem, Judea, and then to the Gentiles. He told the Jews about Jesus, and then he went to the Gentiles. Well, once again, as we think of this, Paul told the Gentiles to repent. In other words, to turn to God and do works befitting, in other words, representing a sign of repentance. In other words, when a person gets saved, things change, and God speaks to the heart. And as we get into the Word of God and we study the Word of God and we hear the Word of God, God will take what we hear, and He'll help us to understand what we are to do as Christians. And the things we are to do are the things that God wants us to do. Now, many times we fail to do that, but thank God that doesn't mean we're going to go to hell when we do make a mistake or we don't do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. We're saved. The Lord has saved us and given us eternal life. Well, that doesn't mean that we go out and live, if you pardon the expression, live like the devil. That means that we live like Jesus Christ because He is our Savior and we're in love with Him because He first loved us. Well, I want to call a few verses to your attention here other than the book of Acts at this point. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." In other words, this is something you do after you get saved. You do good works. In James chapter 2 and verse 20, and let me add this, that the Bible teaches us that the person who is unsaved cannot do good works for Jesus. It makes no difference how good the person is before they get saved. The Bible tells us that it's sin in the sight of God when a person even tries to do good works without knowing Jesus as Savior. It's sin. And so therefore, the person needs to get saved so therefore they can bring forth the things that are good. In other words, do the things that are good for Jesus Christ. James chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And James 2:22 says, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect?" In other words, people could see the faith of the person who got saved. In verse 24 of James chapter 2, it says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." This doesn't mean that a man is justified by doing good works. This means that people see the good works, and that by seeing these good works that a person is doing, in other words, God has changed that person because they've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and that other person who's looking on sees that person who is saved, and they see something different in their life. They see that that something has taken place, and that they're doing good works, and that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and so therefore, when that unsafe person sees the safe person doing what is right, that helps them to understand that they too need to be saved. And on their way to heaven, they need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, we look on now. Acts chapter 26 and verse 21. "For these causes," Paul says, "the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." In other words, he's telling now King Agrippa that because he got saved and he was doing what God wanted him to do, that the Jews were trying to kill him. He was preaching the gospel. And in that verse it says the Jews seized him at the temple and tried to kill him. Well, in verse 22 goes on to say, "Having therefore obtained help of God," Paul says, "I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Paul recognized that God had helped him to this present time that he was in. God was leading him along. Is God leading you along today? Have you trusted him as Savior? You need to get saved. And if you are saved, you need to be living for him so that other people will see in you something they need and they want. And that is salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Live for him. Let him lead you and guide your life as a saved person. Do what he wants you to do in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.